boy.
Thank you.
these causal sets are a series of dots and connected by lines. So every dot on the graph represents an event in space-time, and every line represents a causal link, meaning that if two dots are connected, like these two, one has an effect on the other. So anyway, I'm a slightly more complicated one, like get different dots or some random line merging. So, so what kind of properties do these causal sets have? Well, the first thing to notice is that they always flow upwards in time. So, this arrow represents time. And so, no effect on an event below it. Which kind of makes sense because then it would have to travel back in time to cause something that happened before it. So, the other four main properties of causal sets. First one is transitivity. And this means if you have, say, an event X, Y, X, Z. So X affects Y, Y affects Z. This means that X affects Z. It's just not really shown. So it looks something like that. And that would be much more confusing that. So, anyway, then we have non-circularity. This means that if X affects Y, and Y affects X, then X must equal Y. And apparently this is important in a little bit of time travel. Next property is finitary, this means that the number of events lying between two fixed events here is finite. And this is actually important, it has to do with the discreteness of space. And then the final property is reflexive. This means that any event on column set affects itself. So the z here, we have x affecting it, y affecting it, and z affecting it. So it affects itself because it is itself. Anyway, so do you have like a basic idea of what a causal set is? So dots are events and then they affect each other, so you can line them. Okay, so now we're going to talk about causal set theory. And one of the basic ideas behind causal set theory is that space-time is discrete. That means that there's a minimum length in the universe. Space is not discrete, it consists of space atoms, so to speak. But they're not really atoms, because that's just they are something. They're more the background of existence. So there's empty space, and I think it's all of that space. You can think of it like maybe like a checkerboard, where the squares are the space atoms. They don't really exist. They're just either filled with checkers or not filled with checkers. Anyway, so they could be filled or not filled, and there's no halfway filled, which means that it's discrete. And then the same is true for time. So time doesn't flow continuously, you have ticks. And just like the space, they're not like, they don't exist in themselves, we just use it to measure them. Anyway, these atoms of ticks, called the Planck length or Planck time, respectively, are approximately 10 to the negative 35 meters. And 10 to the negative 44 seconds. So clearly, we're talking really, really small values here, which is why none of this has been verified or measured. Anyway, one of the other main principles behind causal set theory, one we're not going to talk about that much, but has to do with general relativity. And because space-time is warped in general relativity, space-time is described with a metric. We learned about it in our cosmology lecture. And it turns out that by using the distributions of the dots in these causal sets, you can actually find out information about the metric. So that's and so why are we even telling you all this? Like, it's information about entropy, black holes, not transitivity, space time. But it turns out that these are actually connected, that causal sets can to could be applied to black hole entropy. So that I will report back to my learned colleagues.
All right, there's one more thing. Cosmos has property in Minkowski and space time. So the shortest distance between two points, this is, you know, our old fashioned straight line, but a Kirby. X. Yeah, X minus Y squared. So the shortest distance between two points is, in fact, above ground, straight line. But now I'm going to get on to causal sense and black hole entropy. One of the main problems with the standard method of calculating entropy, the copy method here, is that, well, there are a few problems, but one of the main problems is that there's no finite amount of space you can get down to an area. So you can continue going down and down and continue registering entropy at smaller and smaller levels. And you would actually lead to infinite amounts of entropy. Causal sets helps to eliminate this by creating the smallest amount of area that entropy can go through. So it works, but if you're in a map, causes like events going across the events going across the horizon, each line being the horizon of the black hole on the other side would be accompanied by an area, a black line, and this would be the smallest amount of area that anything could happen that go through. And since the number of events crossing the black hole is related very closely to the area, with this we can calculate how much entropy goes across without running into engines. So as an example, a causal set in a black hole situation, this being a singularity. So the one here. Anyways, so we to define the horizon, find each point where there's a possibility of not ending up in a singularity. So if I was, let's say, at this event, and any other, and I was going forward in time, and there's a possibility of not ending up in a singularity, then I'd be outside the horizon. In this certain situation, there are 26 lines in which, 26 lines in which there's no possibility after the horizon, any outside the black hole, because nothing can come back out. And then using these, we count how many cross the horizon, and then we add Planck length squared equal to, multiply by Planck length squared to show that this is how much space is in the map. And you can put it into the Planck equation and find out how much energy it is. In this case, we end up with there being 26. 26 connections across the horizon by the Planck squared, the Boltzmann constant squared, which is really important. For that and H2, and it turns out that the entropy in this case, a very small black hole, is 2.8 times 10 to the negative 70. So, typically, we can use causal sets to map entropy by eliminating any possibilities of infinite small spaces.